Well, we're going to be looking to those clever Nordic countries, Iceland in particular. We're about to talk to someone who has done a study on their policies and the difference it has made to making being a parent better for both mums and dads. But I want to hear from you this afternoon. I want to hear from you, what were some of the unexpected things that happened when you had kids? 1300 681 666 is our number, or you can send a text on 0467 922 666. This text says, my kids are in their 30s. I still keep getting unexpected surprises. And this other text makes the point where, you know, it's surprising enough when nothing goes wrong. But this text says, unexpected illnesses and long-term hospitals. Yeah, you know, when things go wrong. Chris says, yes, surprised by the number of near sleepless nights, but of everything, as much as I thought I was prepared, I'm still amazed and in complete love and that I have for our superstar 5-year-old daughter. Completely life-changing. Every day I am thankful. Beautiful thought. Chris, thank you so much for that. Adam from Braddon has given us a call. Hey, Adam, did you get any, I don't know, special surprises when it came to parenthood?
An understatement, but I'll fill you in. I was had a new bike, and I was visiting some friends from road from start of the journey in Canberra. Got to some friends in Coffs Harbour, staying there for a few days. I'd thrown a line out to another friend up the coast, up Brisbane way. They were moving to when I last saw them near Nimbin about a year earlier, and finally got in touch with them. Only had a couple of days before back to Canberra, but I just winding up the conversation, heard a baby crying in the background and said, oh, I better wind up, I'll give you a ring in the morning and see you for a day sort of thing. And she said, oh, yeah, that's yours.
What?
So I didn't get the pregnancy or the birth or anything like that. The next day on the way up there thinking, oh, I could turn around and not acknowledge any of this, but I ended up going up there the next day, you know, a few hundred k's to Nambour.
Oh, and, Adam.
I was just amazed at the psychology of fatherhood. I've got a lump in my throat. It's very emotional.
Yeah. Oh, look, Adam.
But I just turned into a raspberry blowing, nappy changing. And I was riding up there on a Harley, so it was when I drove off leaving the mother, I said, don't tell any of my friends I did this, because it was just a totally culture shock, and it was just crazy.
Oh, look, Adam, it sounds...
But my daughter Shani's birthday tomorrow, she's 27, so it's just a lovely thing, but it was totally unexpected.
Totally unexpected, and it sounds like you've had a lovely 27 years, Adam. I hope she has a wonderful birthday, and keep doing those raspberries. I think it's great for your image.
I don't know how, but I might do one on Father's Day.
Okay. Well, you have a great Father's Day as well. Thank you so much, Adam. Adam from Braddon with that story. And let's have a quick chat to Jack as well. I mentioned earlier that only 2% of fathers are taking paid paternity leave. Jack, were you one of that 2%?
Yes, I was, but there was quite a few hoops for me to jump through to actually, you know, be qualified for it.
Oh, really? What kind of? And I'm guessing that would have been unexpected, because you just assume that you're entitled.
It was. You weren't allowed to take holidays or any sort of paid leave. You had to take unpaid leave and just sort of keep your fingers crossed that the money would come through from the government in time, which. Unfortunately, it didn't, and we were stuck waiting for 2 weeks of paid maternity leave for a couple of months until my partner sort of called in tears saying, oh, we need this money to come through. I probably would have rather just taken holidays. I would have been...
Less stressful.
Yeah, much less stressful. You really don't need it when you've got, two kids, a baby in the house, and you're sort of wondering... did I cross all my T's and dot all my I's with the paperwork that I had to send through to Centrelink or, you know, the MyGov or whatever it sort of is, you know.
Yeah.
It was good. It's fantastic to have any time with the kids that you can when you're, you know, you're working sort of flat out to try and keep a roof over their head and food on the table.
So with the bureaucratic side of it put to the side, so you appreciated that time with your kids. What difference did that make?
Well, look, in the haze of sort of a baby in the house, that sort of crazy time when you first get back from hospital, it's just, you're just there to help out and make sure that the bottles get cleaned and the nappies get changed and the rest of the family's fed and sleeping at some stage if possible. So, but it was good. I mean, the more time you can spend with the kids, the better.
And Jack, here's hoping we can make that process a bit easier. Thanks for your call, Jack. Jack giving us a call on 1300 681 666. You can give me a call too. If you want to, you know, tell me about your experiences with paid paternity leave, particularly if you're a dad, only 2% of Australian fathers, are taking paid paternity leave. I'm very keen to hear of your experiences. We're also just talking about the general unexpected nature of having kids and the surprises that you have there. Keen to hear your thoughts on that too.
Wungarali Majinu, Paula Kruger, ABC Radio, Canberra Waraji.
So if you've had a baby, government data shows that a woman's life is thrown into chaos when she becomes a mum. Unpaid housework, yep, those hours double. And a chorus of you may say, well, what do you expect when you have kids? I know, sometimes our expectations don't quite match reality. But I tell you what I didn't expect. I didn't expect that in this day and age, blokes, their time doesn't change much at all in comparison to women. Now, what can we do about this? I'm hoping we can learn a few lessons from Iceland. So Nordic countries have a long history of placing emphasis on policies that give mothers and fathers, you know, that provide mothers and fathers with a more equal opportunity to both work and care. Well, with you now is Orstis Arnaldis. She is an academic from Iceland and she has been researching paid paternal leave and particularly the importance of father's paternity leave. Orstis, welcome to Afternoons.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, firstly, can you explain to me exactly what is the system in Iceland?
Well, it's a gender-neutral system, a universal system, so everyone's entitled to it, no matter which company you work for, or whether you're self-employed or an employee. It's a universal entitlement paid by the state. And as I mentioned, it's gender neutral, which means that there are 3 months for each parent. And then there are 3 months that parents can decide upon. So if the parents are a mother and a father, this means that there is a 3 month quota for the mother and a 3 months quota for the father. And then there's these 3 months that parents can decide upon. And usually the mother takes over these 3 months that parents can decide upon. So usually the mother uses 6 months and then the father uses three. And these months that are for each parent are non-transferable. So if, for example, the father doesn't use his 3 months, they can't be transferred to the mother. So it's based on a use it or lose it principle, this scheme.
So why did you, when you were studying it, when you were having a closer look at this scheme, what were you looking for?
Well, I'm sort of researching the impacts that this has had on parents' participation in work and care. So this scheme is already 19 years old. This paid parental leave scheme was enacted in the year 2000. And we have data from parents. So we have data that has been gathered with questionnaires among parents who had their first children before the law was enacted, and also more recent surveys after the law was enacted. So we can see what has changed over the years.
So what did you find? What had changed over those years?
Well, fathers' participation in care has risen greatly since the law came into force. So our first data reaches parents who had their first child in 1997, and the law was enacted in the year 2000. But of those who had their first child in 1997, around 40% of parents reported that they divided care equally when the child was 3 years old. But now in our newest data, which reaches parents who had their first child in 2014, 80% of parents report that they divide care equally. So the share of equal caring has actually doubled.
That is quite a big difference.
Yes, it's a very much.
And so are there any figures, because you mentioned that, you know, it's either use it or lose it. Are there any figures which showed the rate of uptake, like how many people were actually using it?
Yeah, well, so the law was a huge success because before the father's quota was implemented, hardly any fathers used leave. But since the father's quota was implemented, nearly 90% of fathers use some leave, and most of them make full use of these 3 months. So it is, as I say, a huge success.
And so when we're looking at that, I mean, it's an impressive number to look at, 40% to 80%. But what difference does that make to the lives of the people that you're studying on the ground? What does that difference feel like when there's a more equal share?
Well, yeah, it's important for the family, for the children, of course, to that both parents are involved in their upbringing. And it's also important for mothers' re-entry to work because it's much more easy for mothers to take up work again after childbirth if the father is involved within the home. So I've also done interviews with parents, and that's one of the things they speak about, that they say, the mothers, for example, say it was much more easy for me to return to work because I knew the child was safe with its father at home. And
did you have to, and in Iceland, were there many incentives to encourage fathers to use this instead of losing it?
Well, yeah, because the benefits are quite generous, so that's a huge incentive. So all working parents receive 80% of their salaries while on leave. So I mean, research has shown that if the benefits are too low, then fathers won't use it. Yeah, and also the leave is also really flexible, which is also very important to encourage fathers to take leave. So they can, for example, combine it with work. They can be on leave, for example, 2 days a week and work 3 days a week or however they choose to do it. So that's also an important factor.
You're on Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra, and with you is Alstis Arnald. She is a researcher, so I keep stumbling on your name.
Yes.
She is a researcher from the University of Iceland, and she's been looking into, she's been doing some research into the paid paternity leave scheme that are in place there. Was it difficult to get the employers on board with this scheme?
Well, quite the opposite. So everyone was actually on board with it. And the employers' organizations were one of the parties that actually, were in favor for it.
I want to move to Iceland. But, you know, we're here in Australia, and as I mentioned before, we've had a scheme that was legislated in this country about 10 years ago, but our figures show that only 2% of fathers have taken it up. What could we do here so that we have a better scheme that leads to good results? And by good results, I'm meaning that that there's more equality, that the experience of parenthood is better for both mothers and fathers.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I understand that in Australia, some companies have actually quite good and generous schemes. But this scheme that is provided by the government, it only allows 2 weeks for the secondary caregiver, 18 weeks, I think, for the primary caregiver. And it's at the minimum wage. So as I mentioned before, the benefits is a huge factor when encouraging fathers to take up leave, that they can't deviate that much from their salary they would receive while in paid work.
One of the things that you hear from fathers here in Australia is that they're quite self-conscious about taking the paid paternity leave, that there might be a bit of a stigma associated mm-hmm. with that. Did you have that issue at all in Iceland?
No, definitely not. And actually now things that, I mean, we have had so long experience with this law already, 19 years. And now actually fathers are quite stigmatized if they don't use the leave.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And often when it comes to, looking at programs like this or policies like this, the argument is always, oh, but the impact on the economy. Are you mm-hmm. able to give us any idea whether the kind of impact this has had on businesses, on the economy in Iceland?
I'm not sure what impact it has on businesses. But of course, yeah, as I mentioned before, it has an impact on mothers' labor market participation. So that must have an impact on the economy if both parents take up paid work. But as you mentioned, that's many Australians say this would cost too much. So in Iceland, a special parental leave fund was established when the law came into force back in 2000, and it's financed by an insurance levy paid by all employers. So, yeah, so while people are on paid parental leave, they receive these benefits from this fund.
Well, Austis, thank you so much for telling us about it. You must travel the world and people look at you as if to say, what is this magic you speak of? But thank you so much for telling us about your research. Austis Arnalds is a researcher at the University of Iceland, and she has looked into her country's paid paternal leave scheme and the impact that has had on the equality of sharing paid work versus unpaid work in the household in Iceland. You're on Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra.